turn to Luke 12, please. I think Friday a week ago, Chris was asked this question about the one that was beaten with many stripes and the one that was beaten with few stripes. It's very simple. It opens up, if you just study, it opens up with one word in this passage. For a few years now, since we've been introduced to these two new doctrines of annihilation, of no eternal punishment, the other doctrine of payment for sin before the foundation of the world, we had questions. Why would God reveal these things to us now, just right at the end of time? Certainly the first answer was for a test, and certainly that's true, but also God is continuing to teach, and in searching out these doctrines, I believe both of them are helping us to come to more truth, and we'll look at the one particularly in this passage, that it's just a astounding thought that God is still opening the Word. Luke 12, let me read from verse 41 to 48. Luke 12:41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? Let me get back here. Let me get back to verse 35, so we'll get the context that the Lord is speaking about, knowing about the timing of the end and watching. Luke 12:36 Luke 12:35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And again, Chris was asked, how do we apply this if upon death, that's it? No one ever is resurrected to stand for judgment. This seems to teach degrees of punishment. And Chris's answer was, well, this is speaking of the church. This is corporate. This is speaking corporately of the church, and this is going on right now. And it opens up by just looking at one particular word in this, but we'll just go through it a little bit, just briefly. In verse 42, the Lord says, and the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? You see the words faithful and wise there, and those words apply to the Lord Jesus in the first instance, and certainly then to all the true believers as they identify with the Lord. This parable is almost cited identically in Matthew 24, but it also speaks about a steward here in Luke 16. If you turn to Luke 16, we read that parable, the unjust steward and the unrighteous mammon. Luke 16, 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused of him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. We won't go through this, but he resolves that he'll take the bills of some of his Lord's debtors and mark them down some to gain their favor. And we read in verse 8, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of this wife, of light. This man is using the wisdom of this world, but Christ compares it to the true believers. He says, I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. In other words, you use the riches of this world to make yourselves friends, that when ye fail, that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. In other words, you use what God has given you, to make yourself friends. In other words, all the while you were saved, God was using you to be a light in the world, to take the gospel into the world, and in that you are making friends. And the end of that verse 9 says that when ye fail, they may receive you in everlasting habitations in the kingdom of God. These people have been saved as God used you in the ministry. But the steward is a picture of the church. The Old Testament Israelites and the New Testament church were made stewards by God to be over his household, over his goods. And the goods and the household really are God's elect. But in this world, he gave the church stewardship over them. In 1 Corinthians 4, you see this word steward. 1 Corinthians 4. 1 or 2. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God's people all through time, even corporately, have been stewards of his people as they brought his people the law and taught them the law. And in the Old Testament, the Jews, the Levites, were to teach the people the law. And in the New Testament, the church was used in the same way to teach the word and take it into the world. And in that sense, there are stewards. In Matthew 20, let me see, in Luke 12, in verse 42, he says, in verse 44, of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. In the identical passage in Matthew 24:47, he says, verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. It's the same word, all that he hath and all his goods, or his substance. In the sense of that word substance, even more so in the Old Testament. And we can use the English word and look at it because the sense is similar. Often, most of the time, it refers to his flocks and his herds. But again, it's simply speaking of God's people, that he's given the church stewardship over them. And also in verse 42 of Luke 12, it says, the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household? Again, same sense in that word household. And we can, again, go into the Old Testament in that and see similar situations. Job was a picture of Christ. And we read of him before he was stricken or afflicted by the Lord. We read in Job 1, verse 2, or verse 3, Job 1, 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep, etc. And then in the second half of that verse, it says, in a very great household. And again, his flocks and his herds and his sons and his daughters were a picture of the church. So We read here, back here in Luke 12:42, it says, "The Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season?" And that says a lot. And just reading that one verse, that's also quoted in a psalm about God's people being given their meat in due season. You read that verse, as simple as it is, and how can you say that there's no such thing as progressive revelation? Because the meat, God's word, is given to them and taught to them and opened to them in due season, in time, as God has worked through time. Let me see. This word due season is Strong's number 2540. But each time it's used, the sense of it is not something happened at this time, but the sense is always something happened when it came to this time, like in Matthew 13:30. Matthew 13:30 says, he's talking about the wheat and the tares, and he says, Matthew 13:30, "Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles," and so forth. Due season, we could look at a couple other words there, but I think you understand that. But God's people are given their meat in due season, in a time appointed by the Lord, as God opens his word and things develop. So in verse 43 of Luke 12, we read, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth, I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath," all his goods. So certainly this is obviously talking about the church. It can apply to an individual, but you can see in a larger sense, broader sense, and more specifically, it's speaking of the corporate church. So we get to verse 45, and we read, "But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken," and both of these phrases have to do with perverting the word of God, beating the men servants and maid servants really has to do with bringing a works gospel in one sense, but the violence also has to do, violence usually, when God speaks of violence in the Bible, it usually has to do with violence being done to the scriptures. In Zephaniah, you have Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and then Zephaniah. Zephaniah is right before Haggai. But in Zephaniah 3 in verse 4, Zephaniah 3 verse 4 says, "Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law." And again, this is the way God uses violence very often in the Bible. Certainly the Lord Jesus was beaten, but that's not the main focus of that, when he was crucified. He was beaten, and he was the Word of God. Of course, that movie a few years ago just totally perverted, twisted that whole idea, and the focus of the whole movie was on just a severe beating, and they missed the point entirely. The Apostle Paul was beaten several times. A couple of those Old Testament prophets you read about, they were beaten. So that's what we're reading here in verse 45 of Luke 12. "If that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens," to bring false gospels, to beat them with a works gospel, or to eat and to drink and to be drunken. And we know being drunken, again, has to do with bringing false gospels. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, "For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." And that's speaking of false teachers. We don't even have to go there. Isaiah 28 and Isaiah 29 speak about how this people are drunk, but not with wine. And again, they were perverting the law, bringing false gospels. So that, the servant that does that is spoken of in Luke 12, verse 45. My Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants and to eat and drink and to be drunk. In verse 46, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And again, as you read these passages, again, this is teaching us that we should all along have been trying to know time, to learn time. Because back in 39, in verse 39, it says, "And this know, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." And we know now that thief coming is Christ in judgment. Yeah. Okay, so now in verse 47, we read, "And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." There in verse 47, that servant that knew his Lord's will, that has to be, again, looking at the Old Testament Israelites or the New Testament church, because they were particularly blessed by God, given the word in Romans 3:2, we read about the Israelites being given the oracles of God. Romans 3 verse 1 says, "What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God." God gave his word, his oracles, particularly to the nation of Israel, particularly blessed them, brought them out of Egypt when they couldn't come out by their own power, sustained them miraculously in the wilderness, took them into the promised land, won great victories for them. They were particularly blessed. And then it was so with the New Testament. When Christ was crucified, after that, God opened up the Word. We just talked about that veil being rent, and so much more revelation being given. Things opened up. And this was the blessing of the Old and New Testament. And these people corporately should know the Master's will. Verse 47 again in Luke 12, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And certainly this would be talking about a person who never had any interest in the gospel, or maybe even some foreigner, maybe even in a false religion, a Hindu or what else. But this seems to be teaching different degrees of punishment. But what we have to look at here are these words in verse 47. Well, to begin with, it says, "That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten." The word stripes isn't even there. It's just it's just implied there. It's in italics. It could be said, and if you look at these words, it can simply be saying shall be beaten much. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes, there it is, the word, shall be beaten with few, or it could be translated a little. Let me see. If you look at Acts 12:18 says, "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers," what was become of Peter. It's the same word. It can literally say, "Now as soon as it was day, there was not a little stir among the soldiers," which was what was become of Peter. So the one servant will be beaten much, the other servant will be beaten little. It can be the same sense. That word in Acts is the identical words, letter for letter. But the word stripes is what we want to look at here. The word stripes, it's Strong's number 4127, and it's the Greek word plague. It's our word plague, and it's more often translated plagues in Revelation than it is stripes. So that just opens up the whole thing, because we know that this is going on now, that those plagues... Okay, the word beaten, we have to look at a little bit at that too. But look at Revelation 9. Revelation 9:15, "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men." Now we know that this is speaking of the church, the third part corporately. Verse 16, and the number, let me see, what verse am I on here? 15. Yeah, the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, to slay the third part of men, and the number of the army of the holy horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them, and then in verse 20, we read, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, that's the word there, that's the word they committed stripes in Luke 12. The rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols or stones. So that one word should open up what Luke 12 is talking about. That it's speaking of the church and how they're beaten. The word beaten, it's translated smote. It's simply, being struck. And it's straightforward. So really, this is what we're reading here in Luke 12:47. That servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, nor did according to his will, shall be smitten with many plagues. It's as simple as that. But as I said before, we're studying. We had to study this doctrine of annihilation as opposed to eternal punishment. And it helps us now to see these things because we have to look closer at these verses. Let me look at a couple other verses that speak of how God will he told the Israelites that plagues would come upon them. Let me see, Exodus 32. And again, this is looking at the church because the Old Testament Israelites prefigured the New Testament church. Exodus 32. In this is after the people made Aaron make that golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain. And that whole story is a parable of the Israelites turning to idols. And Exodus 33:35 says, and Jehovah plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made. Or in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy 28 is a chapter that should be familiar to most of you. It goes on for about 50 verses speaking of what will become of the Israelites if they turn their backs on God's law. In Deuteronomy 28 in verse 61 we read, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will Jehovah bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And he's really speaking in corporately to the Israelites, who were the corporate representation of God's people on this earth. And you're all familiar with Revelation 22:18, which says, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the stripes or the plagues that are written in this book. So it's very simple, and God teaches, this is the way God teaches us, by comparing scripture with scripture and studying the words individually. Now, people may argue, but they don't see it. They're being beaten with many stripes as opposed to few. They don't see it. We have to look at it from God's perspective. Who does see it? You people see it if God has opened your eyes to this. And judgment is in the eyes of God. We don't see things as God sees them. And also, the Bible speaks of principalities and powers that are seeing. They're observing what's going on in this creation. There's so much we don't know. This is just helping us to assure that God is continuing to keep us on the right track and should give us a little bit of encouragement. All right, shall we pray? Father in heaven, again, we just come before you and say, in your mercy, could it be that we have this right? We thank you that you are opening the scriptures even more. You continue to open the scriptures and to encourage us and to show us that we're on the right track. We haven't gotten everything exactly right. We're continuing to see, and you're bringing your people along, and that's always the way it's been. And we can't get too proud. We must be humble. We also must be patient. We can't come up with answers when we don't have them. But again, we just thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all you've given us, and just say, could it be that each one of us can continue to be a light in this world, and to be used of you until you come. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.